Wendy, this part's for you. This is not for air. Do you think Jordan Bernfield was upset by the horrible, horrible things that Steve Coughlin said about him during the crosstalk?
I would be.
I'm too. Good. Are you sure?
I think I'll manage.
He said some awful things. Awful things.
He was just surprised to find Jordan in the newsroom.
That's
who
what
let
most
him in
do.
Were his words, Jordan. Who let him in? You've been given a you have a badge to get in. No one lets you in. You've earned your spot there in the newsroom.
That's true. I already managed to lose it once, but I did get
you?
Back. Yeah.
That happens.
Everyone deserves a
you get
second,
a second chance.
Third, fourth, or fifth.
Yes.
It might be in the bottom of the river.
Wow. Why? What happened?
I don't know. I was walking to work last week and then it was in my pocket and I think it just fell off.
Oh.
So I don't really know how that occurred, but somehow it can only happen to me.
Do you know, every day as I walk, it's a three-block walk from where I park to this building. I park way over there, and now right now I'm way over here. And part of that walk is over the bridge, right, the Chicago bridge. And there's openings in that bridge, right? So if I'm holding my keys or my pass card or anything like that, in my head I'm constantly thinking, if I drop this and it goes through one of the slats, I'm done. You know, that it just shows how reckless I am, Wendy, how fearless I am.
But you could do that in the elevator shaft as well.
Could do it in the elevator shaft. The stairs that go from the lower level to the upper level have openings in it. And I always think if I drop this, it's going to go down several stories. I'll probably never see it again. But, you throw caution to the wind. That's what it is.
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
You got to have a purse.
Yes.
Start carrying your purse.
You're right,
the
Mary.
Purse.
Yep.
What else was
a
it called?
A man's purse.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why not? A satchel.
European handbag.
Yep.
If you think about everything that could happen, you will never leave your house.
Right.
Welcome
right.
to my world.
Right.
I still managed to leave the house, but the
so
elevator
many things
shaft,
happen.
That's the thing that scares me the most. Like, I'm going to drop my phone down the elevator shaft.
Oh. Oh, what, you mean during that half second
yeah.
move from land to the elevator?
Yes. And I don't know if it's just this floor, but the elevator does not stop where it's even with the floor. So there's always
right.
a little step up or step down.
Right.
And I always think of that, and it's going to go down there, and I'll never see
yeah.
it again. Because where does it go? To hell?
Yes.
I mean, is
that's
there
where it ends up.
A receptacle yep. at the bottom for lost items?
Think of all the stuff that's down there.
Oh, my God.
There'd be so many things down there.
We were in the Hancock building. I bought Jimmy Mac a new pair of Ray-Ban sunglasses, and he wore them to work that day,
yeah.
and he was taking them off on the elevator, and they went right
oh.
down there.
That's that has
it.
Everything has to happen just right
I
or
know.
Just wrong for that to take place. Everything. Oh, that's horrible. That's expensive.
It's very, well, yeah.
They're still down there, I bet.
I get sunglasses for them at the dollar store now.
Good.
I've learned my lesson.
A much better move, and they look good on them.
Yes.
So everybody wins. Everybody wins. So again, Jordan, just in summation, we're sorry you had to endure that. Steve's being talked to right now by HR. They pulled him aside immediately.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that they keep letting me in. I guess I'll know if I was fired if the key card no longer
right.
works.
Well, haven't we all had days? I had a day recently where I scanned my card and nothing went off, and I went, well, that's how it is.
Or the thing goes off downstairs, ring, ring,
right.
ring, and you're like, oh, no.
The security alert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not had any issues. You know I will today now. I'll not be able to get out. I'm
right.
locked in forever.
In our old building, it was always fun whenever that security alert would go off because those doors would only open really quick. And if you didn't act on it quickly to get through those little gates, you were stuck. So several times you and I did it and the alert went off. And as security came upon us, I pointed at you and said that you were dangerous and weren't supposed to be in the building.
Every time.
Yeah, that was fun.
But they knew.
Unfortunately,
knew it was you.
I know. That's the unfortunate part.
Have you decorated at all for Halloween? Because I am seeing either really crazy ornate houses
yeah.
or not a thing.
Very minimally at our house for some reason.
You know why? Because your kids have grown up.
You know what? That's exactly why.
I can't remember the last time I've carved a pumpkin.
Yeah. You're right. As that dynamic changes, you just say, why bother? Although our daughters have grown up and we decorate like crazy for Christmas.
Christmas is different. Christmas, there are more pretty lights. In the old days, there wasn't a lot of Halloween decorations.
Yeah.
It was basically, you know, a jack-o'-lantern or
yep.
something like that. Now you see like really scary, gross, bloody things in people's front yard.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm sorry, listeners, if you have them, but the inflatables, unless you keep it going 24/7, I don't like to see them deflated.
Yeah.
Have you seen those new things, the skeletons now?
What are they?
Everybody has like skeletons that are in different poses. There's a ton of them. I don't know where you buy them, but
are they life size or death size?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Like skeletons sitting around a table playing poker, like the dogs?
Some that stand up, some that sit down, some that are up in trees.
Oh, wow.
You know, they're all over it. I don't know how they're really sturdy because they're staying up in the winds we've had in the last couple of days, but they're really cool. I've seen a lot of them.
It's been really windy.
There's a house on my route home, and I don't know exactly what street it is, but I'm going to find out because people need to see this because they really went out of their way. There's a vampire. I don't think it's inflatable. I think it's like almost like a mannequin.
Creepy.
I'm not exaggerating. I swear to you, it is one story high, and it's coming out of a giant coffin, and then there's all kinds of scary stuff around it. But it's gigantic, and it's very realistic looking. And I'm an adult, and I understand that it's fake. But all I keep thinking is, some kids have got to live near this thing and look out their window and see that at night, and it must scare the daylights out of them.
I don't think kids are afraid of monsters anymore. They're afraid of bigger things in life.
Has that stopped?
I don't know.
Weren't there houses when you were a kid that you avoided because you just went, well, something crazy is going on in that. I don't know what it is, but I'm not going near that house. Halloween and not Halloween time.
No.
You didn't have any houses like that?
No, I liked all my neighbors.
Ah, we had a couple when I was growing up that you just didn't go near that house.
We had a creepy one. We called it the witch's house, and it was just this brick house, but it had like little turrets in it, and it was scary and it was
like
creepy.
Medieval looking.
So we would wait in the you know bushes to see who would go in there, and finally I waited one day, and this kid came back with this huge candy bar. I was like, "Come on! I've been avoiding that house for years."
So you don't know who lived in there, really? You just called it the witch's house, but you never saw the person who lived there?
We did see a lady that lived in there. Yeah. She was a little.
Who gave away full size candy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the rich witch's house.
Yeah. I was still afraid to go up to the door. She was just kind of creepy.
Sure.
I will never forget the Starosta's house. We went there because they gave out popcorn balls and we were so very excited. And after about 8 years, I realized I don't even like popcorn balls.
Nope.
But it was big and it was different. And I thought that is the score.
It's worth the trip. Yep. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got a full show for you. Stick around. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, Halloween is right around the corner, 9 days away, if my math is correct.
Here's a great text. Wendy 630 says, we used to put out a 6-foot-tall male mannequin that was dressed as the Grim Reaper, but we stopped putting it out because it scared all the little kids. It's funny because you put something like that up, hoping it'll scare the kids, but then when it does, you go, well, you can't be scaring the kids. We got to take this thing down immediately.
My dad had this thing, and I don't remember a lot of it. He passed away when I was 10, but I do. Prior to his death, he would set up this ghost on our front porch, and then he had an old reel-to-reel tape deck that he was able to, I don't know how you change the buttons, so it turned into like a PA system. Mm-hmm. So kids would walk up and he would just be standing there and go, you know, hey, let's see your trick. And they'd be looking around like, what is, and this was, you know, 1968 maybe. Yeah. So I don't think very many people did that.
Oh,
he was into, you know, scaring kids. I don't even like Halloween anymore. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of candy. There's been candy around here. I'm totally finished. I can't help myself. And now I'm burnt on sugar.
Wow.
There are a bunch of spooky locations. BuzzFeed put together these creepy places in the United States that you've probably never heard of. And different posters on BuzzFeed put these together. There's something in Raleigh, North Carolina called Crybaby Lane.
What happens there?
I think I used to live on that street when I was little.
Yeah.
In college, we used to go to Crybaby Lane. It's a deserted alley and field where an orphanage used to be. One night in the early 1900s, it burned down, killing all the children who lived inside. If you go there now, you can still smell the burning building. The longer you stay, the more likely you are to hear wailing children. How can that be explained? Is it your mind that takes over?
I think so.
Like if you went there not knowing the backstory, would you smell burning things and hear wailing kids?
I don't think so. When did it burn down? Like 100 years ago?
In the 1900s.
Yeah, I think that's more imagination than anything.
Now, you go to Maine every year. There's this place called the Phantom Firehouse near Portland, Maine.
I've never heard of this. What happens?
There's this house in a town outside of Portland that's extremely spooky. Many years ago, a family moved in, and on their first night, they woke up to the house on fire. They jumped out of the window with as many boxes as they could grab, but when they turned around, there was no fire. The house was dark.
Wow.
Explain that.
I don't know if I can.
There are a lot of, like, places where there was a fire, or there's Ed Gein's house in Plainfield, Wisconsin.
Can you visit that? Is that, like, a tourist attraction? I don't know if I'd want to see that.
They sell lotion in the basket there at the gift shop.
They do.
I grew up about an hour away from where Ed Gein lived and worked. He was known for killing multiple people and using their skin for his projects. He upholstered chairs and lamps with it, made sausages out of his victims to give to unknowing neighbors. Eventually, he was caught, arrested, and stuck in an institution until his death. They cleared the house out to put it up for auction, but it burned to the ground the night before in a mysterious fire that most assumed to be arson.
Mm.
I would assume that as well.
Yeah.
There's a mental asylum in Westland, Michigan, Eloise Mental Institution, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, insane asylums in the country at one point. It's abandoned now and allegedly haunted.
You get a lot of that. There's a lot of abandoned orphanages or insane asylums where they say the ghosts still linger. You hear a lot of that story, no matter where you are. Not just in the United States either, in Europe as well.
This is very much like Poltergeist, which is a very scary movie.
Sure.
It really did scare me.
Yeah.
There's a park in Denver called Cheeseman Park and Botanic Gardens. It used to be a large graveyard. The city decided to develop the land in 1893, so workers were paid $1.90 for each corpse they could dig up and cram into a small box for relocation.
Oh, fun.
There were large protests, obviously, when the public found out about it, so the project was halted. 10 years later, the city simply plowed over the remaining bones, and today nearby residents often report seeing the ghosts of these souls in their mirrors as they're driving by. I believe that. Sorry, I do.
You wouldn't chalk that one up to the same. You know the area has some history, so maybe your mind plays into that a little bit. Like, I wonder how many of those accounts are from people who had no idea what went on that land. You know?
I guess.
Anything's possible, but I always think that the stories are juiced up a little bit by people who know what went on there.
There's Rocka Dundee Road in Hampton, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Legend says that in the 70s, multiple teenagers committed suicide by hanging themselves there. There's even a haunted gazebo at the end that acts as a memorial for a little boy who was dropped off by a local school bus, then hit and killed by it. They say if you go and stand in the gazebo at night, you can hear him crying. Well, we have what? Resurrection Mary here?
That's our number one ghost story. Sure.
I don't know if I believe in her.
When the area we go to in Maine, for several years we stayed at bed and breakfasts. Lately we're staying at hotels, but for years we stayed at bed and breakfasts. And every one of them we ever stayed at has a ghost story that they tell you, you know, after you've been there for a day or two.
But, after you booked it.
Yeah, once it's booked, you know, then they can tell you the story. Well, they love to tell you during the breakfast part of the bed and breakfast about strange noises you hear at night and stuff. And the truth is, all those houses were built 125 years ago. So there is creaking and stuff at night, but it's the house is settling. It's not the ghosts of women from, you know, 150 years ago screaming at you in the middle of the night like they want you to believe.
I know. Our house was built in 1860.
So you have to hear unexplained noises during the course of a night sometimes,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, but then they can be explained. Like last night, for instance, I heard this really eerie kind of screechy noise.
Yeah.
Our tree needs to be trimmed, and it was hitting the gutter.
Right.
I mean,
right?
There are explanations for things.
Sure.
John has a story to share with us. Hey, John.
Good morning, Bill and Wendy. About 3 years ago, I was training a new employee. We're on a midnight shift, and I know what you just said about Resurrection Cemetery, but we're in that area. We're on Archer Avenue, going into Justice, and it was between 1 and 3 in the morning when we picked up restaurant grease, so we were out very late at night, and as close to this cemetery, there is a woman standing facing the cemetery. There are no bars. There's no nothing. No reason why this lady should be standing there. And the employee was sitting to the right of me, and he just looks at me, and his eyes are like headlights. And I swear, the kid quit.
Oh, that freaked him out.
He quit, and I changed my route, and we never went back. I never went that way ever again.
It affected you that greatly.
I'm serious. To see something like that, and, I mean, you're just like shocked, and I'm even got goosebumps telling you about it because my wife thought I was crazy when I told her the next morning when I came home.
I don't know what to how to explain that. I just know had I been there, half of me would want to pull over and say, hey, you know, can I help you? Are you lost?
Yeah.
And then, boom, if she disappeared, I'd believe it. But I think somebody just stands out there to freak people like you out, John.
Yep.
Well, I don't know what to say. All I know is that I got goosebumps right now telling you about it. And, you know, I don't know. But I do believe that there are things like that that happen.
Well, I kind of. You too. He's freaked out.
It obviously scared him. But you're right. If you're a woman in the area, you can scare a lot of people just by doing that kind of thing.
That's right up your alley.
Yeah, I love stuff like that. All right, we'll take a quick break, give you some news, and then there's a lot more show. Bill and Wendy with you on WGN. Thanks, Jordan. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Bridget Carey's going to join us in a little bit. It's Tech Tuesday, so she'll tell us what's going on in the world of technology. But first, so many texts from people commenting on our haunted house talk. I was saying how in almost every neighborhood there's a house or sometimes two that if you're a kid, you're a little bit afraid to walk past. We've got a bunch of people with stories like that. And I was thinking when we moved, when I was a kid, we moved to Oak Forest in 1967, and it was just starting right then in the late 60s to develop as a suburb. Up until then, it was a farmland for the most part. So you still had areas where there'd just be like nothing but field and an abandoned house that was kind of common in the late 60s in Oak Forest. And there was one in particular that wasn't far from where I grew up where it was that old rickety house. It was probably built in the 1910s or 20s or somewhere in there. And the legend was if you go in the house, the people that used to live there would keep rats in their refrigerator. So if you ever go in there, the last thing you want to do is open the refrigerator because you're going to get rats, right? So we all believed it. And one of my neighbors, who was a couple years older than me, on a dare, we went in. We wouldn't do it at night. We had to do it during the day. But he said, we're going to prove to them that that's just a fable. There's no rats in the refrigerator. So four of us went in.
Stupid.
One of us chickened out immediately.
You?
One of my friends, no, I stuck with it. I stuck with it. Because the other guys were older, and I was thinking, if something bad happens, they'll take care of me. They're 2 years older. They're eight.
Or they'll throw you to the wolves or whatever.
There's always a chance of that. We open the refrigerator to prove that there's no rats in the refrigerator. The biggest rat I've ever seen jumped out of the refrigerator.
No wonder the story happened.
Just the one. You know, the story was always they kept rats in the refrigerator. There's going to be dozens of them. Just the one. But that was enough. That was enough.
You know, when I was growing up, my brother and sister are 7 and 9 years older than me. So I would tag along. My brother, there were a bunch of guys on our block. I was a tomboy. I played with the boys a lot. Not played with them, but, you know, like softball and things. And we would play flashlight tag almost every night. Mm-hmm. It was so fun growing up. And my brother wanted me to go away because he's like, I don't want my little bratty sister hanging around. So he's like, Wen, don't go back in those bushes because the moose is there.
The moose?
Now, I know. It does, you know, you'd think the moose is not really going to be scary. But your mind kind of goes crazy. I didn't know if it was like a walking upright moose like Bullwinkle or just a giant animal moose. My kids love this story because they say, you know, oh, is the moose. I went home crying and I did this probably 10 times.
But
I never saw a moose, but my mind ran away with it.
And in your head, you thought the moose could just be walking upright like Bullwinkle moose?
I said it could be that, or, you know, a giant animal moose is pretty scary as well. They're huge.
Yeah.
Maybe my fear of horses.
Oh.
I don't know.
You solved that riddle quickly. That was true.
But if you ever want to get rid of me, just say, oh, Wendy, look, the moose is coming. How stupid was I?
This is a texter from 219. One Halloween, my mom dressed up as a witch. When a kid would come to our door, she would run from behind the house and scare the child. We usually had about 50 trick-or-treaters, but the next year we only had 5.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah, word gets out pretty quickly. Our house, this is going back to...
It's a very fine house.
Our house was built, this is 630, our house was built in 1905. There were lots of weird noises from time to time, and our dogs would bark for no reason. One time, years ago, we came home to our babysitter sitting on the couch holding a fireplace poker. He was terrified to be in there, and we didn't use him to babysit for our children anymore. So he obviously heard or saw something that made him just sit motionless with a poker.
I watch a lot of ghost stories on YouTube because my son Dylan's into them, and the Travel Channel has My Ghost Story.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular show. When dogs start barking at nothing, that freaks me out because they can sense things.
Right. And it's always the barking and the backing up slowly
from
whatever is scaring them.
That freaks me out.
Understandable.
I don't trust people, but I trust dogs.
That makes sense.
Cats, I don't know if they have a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
They're not afraid of anything.
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, we have some haunted things. You know, we're getting close to Halloween. And on Halloween,
Ursula Bielski, who is a Chicago ghost tours coordinator, she's been on with us the last couple of years. She'll be on Halloween to tell you about the scariest ones. There's some that you would expect. Like we mentioned Resurrection Mary. We always talk about Bachelor's Grove Cemetery in the southwest suburbs, which is like one of the epicenters for paranormal activity in the United States. But she always knows some. There's new ones every year that keep coming up and coming up. And the stories are very chilling. So that'll happen on Halloween.
White Cemetery in Barrington, Illinois. We have to ask her about that. That's supposed to be haunted.
Oh, I don't know anything about, I've never heard of that.
We'll find out about that.
All right, so that's next week. A quick break, and then we'll talk about what's going on in the world of technology. It's Tech Tuesday. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill, that music means it is a Tech Tuesday. On the line with us right now, CNET senior editor Bridget Carey. Did you watch the Star Wars trailer last night?
I saw it this morning because up for it, but it's got all the feels, doesn't it? All that, you know, same music, but now it's the last one and you feel really sad. That's all I kept hearing every time they played that song.
It was so nice dramatic. To see Carrie Fisher.
Sure.
It was really cool. It aired last night during halftime of the Monday Night Football program that was on. And now Disney Plus, I've already been told in our family that we have to get that because it's happening. What are the different platforms for Disney Plus?
Okay, so the streaming wars are just going to heat up when this thing launches next month. You got their Apple version, which is November 1st, and there's Disney streaming service, which is November 12th. And you can view this on pretty much any type of streaming device, you know, whether you put a Roku to your TV or your cell phone or a tablet. But one thing that came out today about it is that if you have Verizon, it's going to be free for a year. And that's interesting because all of these different internet providers and mobile carrier companies, they all have their own free streaming service. They're trying to swing around to get you to sign up. And that means when you hear about, oh, well, our service has, you know, this many million subscribers and our service has this many million. Well, the numbers are going to be kind of inflated because it's also like customers of Verizon or, you know, in AT&T's case, they give away HBO. And with Apple, if you've bought an Apple device, they recently announced this, so I'm not sure when the start date was, but if you recently bought an Apple device, you get the Apple TV Plus service for free for a year. So everyone's got some sort of freebie. I mean, even Sprint is bundling Hulu, and there's T-Mobile. I think you can get Netflix, you know, so everyone's trying to do something to kind of sway you to their service.
So you have to check if you have Verizon. Don't pre-order Disney Plus. People are pre-ordering.
Yeah.
I just have no time for any of this.
Bridget, I have a quick question about that Star Wars trailer. I know that they're showing scenes very, very quickly. You're just seeing quick cuts of a bunch of parts of the movie. But there's one particular, I would say the cut lasts 2 seconds, 2.5 seconds at the most, where you see something that's got to be the way the movie ends. All I'll say is I don't want to be too specific, but two characters do something together, and I'm thinking that has to be the end of the movie. Is it possible? Could they leak?
You don't know what that is that they're doing together. Maybe it's like
Bill thinks he does.
I stopped it. I put freeze frame on it.
You know what? Huh. They constantly mess with you.
Yeah.
There were teaser trailers before this where Rey, our female hero,
yeah,
she looked a little bad. You know, she looked a little right. evil. She was holding a red lightsaber.
Right.
But what if that's a dream? What if that's like some sort of how like Luke had his like vision where like Luke thought, you know, he had Darth Vader's helmet and you know, like you can't trust anything. When Marvel comes out with their trailers, they purposely put fake scenes in the trailers.
They do?
Actually in the movie.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I can't trust anything. All I know is that they got the feels, and they want you to buy the tickets.
Yeah.
So. Now, people are getting Star Wars tickets now.
As again, of today, I think, right?
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little stressful because I just want to see it without having to worry now about the babysitter. I just want to go and see it. But it becomes a phenomenon. And the already tickets went on sale last night. So a lot of big theaters who do marathons, like there's some theaters where you can watch them all, you know, those are already selling out.
And just to clarify something that we alluded to earlier, it's the last of this 9-part arc series of Star Wars movies. There will still be Star Wars movies, but there'll be other storylines, right?
This is the end of the Skywalkers, right? You know, like, so everything, about, like, from Luke, and this is concluding the Han Solo and the Carrie Fisher's is like, this is the end of that. So there's more. It's other outside characters.
All right.
And am I mistaken? I could just ask my husband this when he's doing Rebel Force Radio. Sorry, I didn't ask him last night. But now, didn't I hear that they didn't computer generate Carrie Fisher because they didn't think that would be respectful? So this was footage they had that they were able to put into the new movie?
You are right. Yes, it would be too campy, I think, if they did something like that. So I'm glad that they're at least trying to reuse footage that they didn't use before,
right,
and they worked around it and how they wrote it. Obviously, I think it changed how they were, what they were going to probably do with they wrote it, but nevertheless, it's real footage.
And it comes out December 20th, correct?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, all right.
It says, someone has texted us, people are pre-ordering 3 years' worth of Disney Plus at this point.
Really?
And someone else said, can you please ask Bridget what happens if you already prepaid for Disney, but you have Verizon? That's a great question.
I saw that. I think in some cases, now see, that was my question, because a lot of people who are super fans and they did pre-order, they got a cheaper rate for doing that. I don't think that's available anymore, but... That said, usually these places have like credits, like maybe the credit can be put to something else, you know, so check when that offer kind of starts rolling out. I haven't found the answer yet, but I was curious too. And in the past when like let's say you like the holidays roll around and someone gives you, oh, I have a year of Netflix as a gift for you. And you're like, I already have Netflix. Thanks a lot. Usually they have credits, you know, you can redeem for later. So maybe your free year is the fourth year. I don't know.
Will there be Facebook Live happening in Congress tomorrow?
Oh, it's going to be a weird day because Mark Zuckerberg is going to be testifying in Congress for cryptocurrency. I think it's like not only a topic that makes your eyes cross, but it's going to be just kind of very strange. So he's testifying in front of the House Financial Services Committee because of they're trying to launch this cryptocurrency called Libra. Yes, kind of like a Bitcoin. There's been a lot of criticism. Key partners like Visa and MasterCard, they stepped away from it. No one wants to touch this thing. But Facebook has like 8 lobbyists, you know, knocking on doors in Washington saying, we want to have a digital currency that anyone can use around the world. And a lot of governments, like the G7, they had this paper that says, nope, this should be done by a government, not a company. So they have some companies that support it. Spotify apparently supports this, but not even PayPal. Like the guy who's running, who's working with Zuckerberg to do this Libra currency, he used to work for PayPal, and he can't even get his old company, PayPal, to support it. So this is going to be a lot of questions put on Mark Zuckerberg about, like, why this is good, why this is not, you know, weird to have something. Because a lot of the criticism has been, like, you could weaken the power of central banks if you have this unregulated digital currency. You know, what will it do to large economies? So, yeah, there's there's a lot of skepticism, and I think he's got a lot of questions to answer on a topic that not a lot of people understand.
Because Mitchell Kirby's
just weird, yeah. And he's been fascinated by Bitcoin for a while, and he's wanted to have his own. So you would just pay for things with Facebook money instead of the dollar, and it hasn't started yet. So maybe whatever comes of this meeting could shape whatever he ends up launching.
And that happens tomorrow, and hopefully you won't get that video that says, "Is this you?" when you try and make a transaction on Facebook.
Yep.
Bridget, thank you so much. Happy Tech Tuesday. You can find Bridget Carey, CNET senior editor at CNET.com, or follow her on social media, Twitter at Bridget Carey and Instagram at Bridget Happens. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bridget.
All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Thank you, Jordan. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And is this day six? We are involved in the Chicago Teachers Union strike. Elizabeth Warren was participating for a while. Ryan Burrow, WGN radio news anchor and ABC News radio correspondent with us right now. How long was Elizabeth Warren out there?
She joined the people picketing, so I can't really say how long, though. She spoke for about 5 to 10 minutes and even did take some questions from the media. So a lot of her speak was very broad and general. I mean, I wouldn't expect her to come in and know everything that's going on, you know, with all of the negotiations. But she talked about more money needed for schools, talked about her plan that would include $1 million per school across the country for things like security, like books, like, you know, whatever kind of staffing. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, she thinks that that is something that could jumpstart the economy, would jumpstart education by doing that. That's all part of her big, broad plan.
Does this help having her out here? Does it help the teachers union? Does it help the schools?
Well, you know, I can tell you this. So Elizabeth Warren came here. Bernie Sanders, I believe, was here a couple weeks ago. We saw Kamala Harris has tweeted about it. Julian Castro has tweeted about it. Joe Biden has tweeted about it. So everyone's kind of, according to the mayor, and obviously this is the complete other side of the spectrum, she says, you know, everyone's going to come in and try to make their moment, and then they're going to leave. And that's true. I mean, Elizabeth Warren's not going to stay here for the duration of this. But she has clung on to the movement, the cause, as many Democrats have. And in fact, Lori Lightfoot has, you know, in the past. And now she sees herself on the other side of the table. So it makes for interesting politics, that's for sure. It's going to grab the headlines today. Is it going to make any movement or create anything, you know, any kind of change in the negotiations? Probably not.
So I want to make sure I'm getting this right. When you say that she could potentially be seizing the moment, that means it's an opportunity for her.
For her.
Right?
Yes. Okay. For her to seize the moment, grab some headlines, especially here in Chicago.
Yeah, because all eyes are on this.
Absolutely. And what are we going to talk about today? We're talking about Elizabeth Warren's in it. You know,
exactly.
Because we're not in this is I want people to understand something. You know, we're not getting told everything that's going on in that negotiating room. You know, we really don't know outside of what the teachers union comes out and tells us and what the mayor tells us what's been going on. So a lot of this is theater, right? Teachers union comes out. Hey, the city moved on this and that, but we still don't have this. We still don't have that. They're not opening up their purses. We know they've got money. The mayor comes out, says, we don't have money. They're asking for more. They keep moving the goal line.
Yeah.
You know, so this is all we have to go off of because we're not in there right now. You know,
Ryan, I've been told by somebody close to me who is a Chicago public school teacher that during the bargaining, they keep using the phrase to the teachers. They keep saying, we want you to do this in good faith. It would mean a lot to us if you would do this in good faith. But I know from being on the planet for a while that anytime somebody tells you it's going to be in good faith, it always comes back to bite you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Need to get it in writing.
Yep.
Well, you know, agreed. I mean, this is personal. You know, you're impacting people's wallets. You're impacting people's jobs. And to say one thing, you know, I mean, it's personal for the parents. It's personal for the mayor. It's personal for, I mean, to say that, you know, this is all just kind of operating in a bubble, I don't think you can do that.
That's impossible.
You know, to go to the table and not you know, feel the strains and concerns and feel the rhetoric that's been tossed around is probably pretty hard, you know, to just sit down and every time you sit down with them, have a completely blank slate and be in good faith, as they put it.
Would you say public opinion is mostly on the side of the teachers in this one?
I don't know. I mean, we've seen polling that suggests that, you know, talking to people, you know, you hear people say, oh my gosh, I wish they'd just go back to work. You know, you hear people saying, oh my gosh, $100,000 for a teacher. I don't make that. You know, right. I don't, how could they be asking for this? Oh my gosh, they don't. Why are they asking for, you know, things about housing? And, you know, what does housing have to do with any of this? Why is the teachers union getting involved in that? And then you hear people saying, well, wait a minute here. The city's got all this money. You know, they got $1 billion given to them by the state of Illinois. Why is that not going directly to the teachers and to support the things that they need, like a nurse in every school? How could there not be a nurse in every school?
I never knew. I thought every school had a nurse. I mean, I'm shocked to find that out.
Yeah. Wasn't it was a nurse and a social worker that
they want some kind of counselor or social worker, someone like that, because they've got a lot.
They need it now. Times
have
changed.
Kids that need that, yeah.
Right.
All right, so I might have misspoke. How many days is this strike?
Okay, so we need to clarify here. Day this six of the strike, but day four that the kids have been out of the class. Because we count Saturday and Sunday. Remember, they were in the negotiations at that time. They were still on strike. And our understanding, from the people I've talked to, teachers are not getting paid during this stretch. We talked about UAW, the GM worker strike. Those striking workers were getting $275 in strike pay from the union. These teachers are not getting
per day.
Per week.
Right.
From their union. They weren't getting paid from General Motors. Now, in this case, the teachers are not getting paid for these days. Now, that being said, who's to say they won't get back pay? That might be worked in as part of the deal.
You got bills to pay, and if it comes later in the month, sometimes that doesn't help you. I've been driving in and seeing teachers that are out picketing, and I felt bad today because it was raining, and they're not as enthusiastic. Finally, you know, I honk all the time. I don't know which side I'm on. I know that these teachers want to get back and teach these students. This isn't fun for them.
Sure. No, I mean, think about what's been lost so far. You were making headway, you know, teaching math or reading or whatever, and now you've just lost. I mean, you basically inserted a holiday weekend, an extended holiday weekend in there, so you've kind of lost all of that, all those assignments. We've talked about sports, and, you know, that seems like such a side angle. You know, who cares about if they miss a soccer game? But they're getting to playoffs now. I mean, these kids have played, that spent their entire, since dating back to August, getting ready for this moment. You know, I've been devoting 3 hours of every school day. You know, they're not going to be allowed to participate in that. So, you know, there's just a lot at stake. And then the parents, of course, have to find childcare. And I know that there are camps available. Some of these camps are expensive. Yeah. If they don't want to put their kids at a school where they may not know anyone or that's empty.
Right.
You know, so.
Can you stick around for a little bit? You have some time. All right. Ryan Burroughs here. Do you have any questions or comments about the.
Yes, I do.
Wendy has some. So you can join Wendy with these questions and comments. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and the very inquisitive Wendy on WGN. All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Brian from the Hochberg commercial. Ryan Burrow is here. We're talking about the Chicago Public School teacher strike. Every line is jam-packed with people with thoughts and questions and ideas. Let's go to them now.
All right. We are talking to Joni. Joni, Ryan Burrow's in the studio with us. You're a teacher?
I am so a teacher. I am so unemployed. Yes, I'm a CPS teacher, year 30, and we do not get paid during strikes. Just to clarify, he said he wasn't sure. And no, we do not get paid. No one is going to be paid for this time off. And when Bill mentioned the part about good faith, I don't know if the public realizes our contract ran out June 30th. And in good faith, we went back to school and started school in August. And we've been negotiating and we've been at the table, and there was absolutely no movement. And there was a little movement once we did the work stoppage, but we've been trying to negotiate since January of this year. For 10 months, teachers have been trying to avoid the strike. The strike is when you're up against a wall and you have no other choice.
Yep. Joni, can I ask you, when they say, we want to do this and we want to do this in good faith, and somebody on the teacher's side says, well, let's just put it in writing instead of playing off good faith, what is the reaction to that?
The reaction on whose part? On Lori Lightfoot's part?
On their part, yeah.
You've seen the reaction on TV. Yeah. Have you seen my friend Stacey Gates? I love her. I love Jesse Sharkey. My union's representing me well. They've been down this road before, and right. I know this has been in the media, but it's worth repeating. The same negotiating team, so Lori Lightfoot doesn't show up every day at the table. The negotiating team that shows up to meet with the union is the exact same team. Well, I shouldn't say exact. Is the same team that Rahm Emanuel sent. So they've heard these, you know, my union representatives, the bargaining team, we know where this goes, you know. They're treating us like we're, that letter that was written this week, okay, yeah, we'll talk to you, just get back in the classroom.
Yeah.
That's not how a strike works. When you've driven teachers to the point where they're going to walk away from their students,
right,
their classroom,
right,
you know, it's all just waiting, piling. As much as every teacher's off, we're all just thinking about the work that's piling up. I mean, this work has to get done.
So how is this going? How are the two sides going to come together, and how long will this take, in your opinion?
My understanding is Jesse Jackson is going to come and help.
Which, by the way, the mayor said that she didn't want to introduce any new voices because he hasn't been involved in this process. That would just kind of slow the process down. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. Yeah. We need this information because I don't know.
I love you guys, by the way. Can I just say I love you. I love you, Bill.
Thank you,
Wendy. I listen to you guys all summer, and then when it's time to go back to school, I listen to your podcast. So being home, I just feel like I'm playing hooky. It's
very nice. Thank you.
Well, listen, Joni, good luck to you. I feel for you, the students. I just would like to see this solved. I feel bad for both sides. I really do. If there's
and
no
I
money.
I liked when you said today that when you drive by, because I've been on that corner. It's so sad. My mom thought she raised a teacher, and now I'm on the corner. I've been on that corner 6:30 in the morning to 10:30 every day this week, and it's nice when people come by. You know, there's 9 out of 10 people. Good morning, heroes. Stay strong. Mm-hmm. And then we won't talk about the one person. But give teachers love when you see them picketing. That's important.
Thanks, I will continue
Joni.
To do so. Thank
appreciate
you, Joni.
It.
Bye.
A lot of times when you have a strike, Ryan, you have other unions that sympathize with the strikers, sure, and they join in. Are we getting any of that in this particular instance?
SEIU 73 is actually on strike themselves.
They are.
They were involved with the Chicago Park District workers who got their deal done just before this strike happened, and then they represent some of these staffers at the schools, these bus aides, some of the aides in the class, special ed aides, and they're trying to hammer out a deal too.
Yeah.
Yesterday they were in the midst of contract negotiations, and our understanding is the meeting only lasted 12 minutes before they broke it off.
Yeah.
So the mayor and the city seem to indicate that they're only going to come back to the table once the teachers deal gets done, and then they'll work their deal from there. But it's kind of another thing that's been going on in the background.
I know this is a strange question, and you may not know the answer to this, but earlier on Steve Cochran's show, a texter alluded to an allegation of funds that'll somehow go to Naperville. Last week, I heard a similar story about Western suburbs. Do you have any idea what's behind that? Because I can't figure that out.
No, I mean, the thing that keeps popping up is the money that's being used for the Lincoln Yards development. How come that money's being allocated, but it's not going to the schools instead? Wouldn't that be a better investment? The mayor today saying that's not even the same money. It doesn't come from the same place.
Right.
And there is a requirement that goes in along with it. I mean, I think all of us think money is money. It comes into the city. Checks are written. And they go out.
Right.
What does it matter if you shift one thing to another?
Yeah.
The mayor indicating that that's not how it works. The one thing that Jesse Sharkey keeps saying is, about how we're not Winnetka. And yeah, I think that he's making reference to the difference between the funding system maybe on the North Shore in the suburbs versus the funding system here in Chicago. I don't know quite about what that tweet is about.
All right.
How are these two sides going to come together soon?
It takes a long time, too, because their delegates have to vote for it. So, you know, it's not as though, even if they're sitting at the table right now and they said, you know what, deal done, let's break out the brownies and the cupcakes, let's do this. Now you've got to go through the process of the voting. Basically, what happens is that bargaining team now has to pass it off to the 25,000 teachers, and they give the thumbs up or thumbs down, which takes time. You know, it's not exactly as though they'll be back on the job right away if a deal is reached in that room.
All right, based on what you just said, let's say, this is hypothetical, but let's say it goes 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Let's just say, is that a 3 or 4 week period that the kids will have to make up, the kids and the teachers will have to make up at the end of the year or not? Do we know?
We don't know. Yeah, that's something that I got to get a little bit more clarification on. Sometimes districts do build these days in, like snow days, just in preparation.
But that many? Because that would be a lot.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone expected it to go this long. I'm sure he'll have lots of teacher friends telling you one way or another how it's going to go. But yeah, I don't know that answer.
Every kid deserves the right to learn, and I just really feel bad for him. I know some of the kids... I know some people who have kids in the Chicago Public School District who are treating this as a little mini break, and it's got to be fun for them. But when push comes to shove, they're the ones that are being failed.
Yeah. And like I said, missing out on sports, you know, missing out on, on all those activities.
You know what's strange about the sports element is, and I've heard people say, I heard somebody on the news yesterday say, that's so secondary, it's the education. And I get that, but think about if you do want to follow a path that is sports. Mm-hmm. If you're a high school football player.
Scholarship money.
And you're looking at scholarship money, that really does throw a monkey wrench in your plan.
Well, and it's part of your day too, right? I mean, I played soccer and baseball in high school. You'd go to school and you'd go to practice. And you'd go, it would set your day. You know, and it changes your day so much.
And it's not fair. I heard someone call in about, you know, kids in band and choir and things like that. And then some parent called in and said the difference is when there's an athlete that's going to a sport, sometimes the scouts are at that game and mm-hmm. base the scholarship on that.
Right.
A lot of the band and choral voices, they audition for it, too. All in all, it's just really, again, not fair to the kids.
Yeah.
I know it's a nice little mini vacation, but all in all, it's going to hurt them. And I mean, when's the soonest this can even be solved?
I don't know.
And it's going to be a while.
Consider these mini vacations, too, for parents, you know, who are staying home with kids and having to call their boss. And,
I know.
You know, they're not getting paid either if they don't show up for work. So
here's a great text from 815. It's funny how the city says they can't just move money around, but they've always done that when taking pensions and anything else away to find projects that they want. There is some truth to that. Several people alluding to the fact that they're not happy with the idea that teachers will be making $100,000 and only working three quarters of the year. That's come up before.
And it's not every teacher is making $100,000. It depends on your degree and how much schooling you have. And, you know, sometimes these teachers take the payment year round, you know, where they can just change the paycheck so they get 12 months paid.
Right.
One thing that I think is kind of getting lost in all of this, too, is the length of the contract. The city wants this to be a 5-year deal. The union doesn't want to operate anything beyond a 3-year deal. They want a shorter so they can go and renegotiate, you know, sooner as opposed to later. And I asked during the last press conference I was at, you know, how does that impact these negotiations? Because you could be talking about apples and apples, but at the end of the day, if they're talking about a 3-year deal and you're talking about a 5-year deal, you know, how do you eventually come to terms on that?
The confusion there is if they're structuring the payments where the raises would take place over a 5-year span. If the teachers are looking at a 3-year deal, the 5-year span plan is out the window.
Well, I'm getting these nurses. They admit, everyone admits, you can't just hire, you know, thousands of nurses
at
one time.
And there's a shortage of qualified people.
Exactly. It's got to be staggered out. But are we talking 3 years? Are we talking five? How far out are we going? And that all obviously plays a role in this.
We only have 1 minute, Ryan. What is the issue that is the one that is the hardest for both sides to see any kind of compromise on? Is there one particular issue or is it spread out?
It seems like it's class sizes and it seems like it's having the support staff and the amount of support staff and getting it in writing. It sounds like it is in writing and just kind of hammering away at it, I guess.
Yeah.
Fingers are crossed for both sides in this.
They really are. We all want this to end more sooner than later, certainly.
Hopefully everyone's equally happy and equally mad at the same time, right? That's the goal.
Yeah.
Right. I guess that's the key. Ryan, thanks very much. I know you've been covering the case since it started, the story since it started, and I know you'll continue to, so we'll be listening and looking forward to any developments.
Thanks, guys.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Jordan, thanks very much. Wendy, every year Neiman Marcus puts out their holiday catalog. They call it the Extravagant Fantasy Gift Guide.
I don't even really look at it anymore.
But you've seen it in the past,
yes,
right?
I have.
What has been, when you have looked at it in the past, what has been your reaction?
That's it. That's all I can say. No one but celebrities could afford this stuff. And honestly, a lot of this stuff is really not anything anybody would want. I'm sorry.
You have to be extremely wealthy to afford any of the things on their fantasy gift guide, the Neiman Marcus Holiday Gift Guide. This year, they're priding themselves in telling you, because what they've done is Neiman Marcus hears you. They know what you're thinking, Wendy, and they say, we're going to work with you.
They don't.
And so this year, they're very proud. They're touting this, that none of the items on their gift guide are over $1 million. Most hover just below the $1 million mark, so they've made it affordable for people like us. We can pick up any of these things we want now.
You have to either be hoity or toity to take part in this.
Right.
And I'm not either.
I've looked at it in the past, and the general consensus for me is always, even if I had an insane amount of money, I don't, but even if I did, I don't know that I would spend it on these things.
You would spend it on pranks.
Yeah.
I'm serious. You would.
Most of it would be. Yes. Yes. All right. So I will read you what the items are, and you can show disdain.
All right.
Is that fair?
Yes.
Number one. Now, I probably shouldn't have opened with this one because I have to tell you, this is one that would be great to have, but to spend that kind of money is sinful. It based on sinfulness. It's an Aston Martin James Bond car that has been specially designed by the latest James Bond, Daniel Craig himself.
Then let Daniel Craig buy it.
Well, he probably gets one. They probably give him one. For those of you who don't know, through most of the James Bond movies, not all of them, but most of them, Aston Martin is the car of choice for James Bond. So this is a particularly beautiful car. It's a royal blue car. Daniel Craig has worked on the ups and extras of the car. It says, becoming a secret agent in this Aston Martin DBS Super Leggera, which was designed by James Bond himself, Daniel Craig. Only 7 packages are available, so Wendy, if you're even thinking about this, you must act now. Each limited edition car comes with a beautiful inky blue, in inky blue, and features a powerful twin-turbo 5.2-liter V12 engine, producing immense torque and extraordinary in-gear performance. I think the best thing about this car, aside from it being stunning, is the price on this. If you are going to get this for Jimmy or for the boys,
yeah, how much?
$700,007.
Oh, I like that.
That's you're paying for that.
$700,007. Yes. It's a palindrome.
Yes, it is.
Right? Is that what that is? A palindrome?
Yes, it is. Same thing, frontwards and backwards.
Yes.
So just don't commit yet because there's other great gifts. But just keep that one in mind.
Can I just ask you who would buy this? I mean, seriously.
You know how there are some people where money just means nothing.
Justin Bieber.
Like Justin Bieber, for instance, who has the same initials as James Bond, so that he's probably saving the engraving money on the dashboard. He sees the JB on the dashboard. He goes, now we're talking. This is my car. You might have to help me a little bit with this because I'm not sure who this guy is, but a behind-the-scenes experience with Boucheron. Is that a guy? Who is that? Do you know who Boucheron is?
No.
Would you like to go behind the scenes with Boucheron?
Not if I don't know who he is.
Take an exclusive journey to 26 Vendôme in Paris, which is the home of Maison Boucheron.
Oh, this is... Well, there's cologne, Boucheron.
Well, they're showing a picture of jewelry.
Yeah, they have that.
They also
too,
do
yeah.
jewelry and cologne?
Yeah.
French I believe Prince Machiavelli does the same, Wendy.
This is a little higher end. French luxury jeweler and watch house
Boucheron.
Perfume.
You will meet creative director Claire Chosny and enjoy exclusive access to the house's workshops and design studio, as well as have an inside look at how they create each precious object d'art. You know it's nice if it just doesn't say art, it says object d'art. You're paying for that.
Some of the stuff is not really, it's too gaudy for me.
It's not the kind
ornamental.
Of thing you would wear every day. You would wear it mostly to award shows and runway shows. Are you going to any runway shows
go.
Or award shows?
I'm on a runway sometimes when I go on vacation.
I feel guilty for not knowing Boucheron. I'm looking at what looks to be a ring, a high-priced ring.
How much is it?
Well, the whole pack, I don't think you can buy it individually. Oh, okay. What you're buying is a chance to go behind the scenes and see how they create their product, and it would run you $695,000.
Well, I'm sure they'll throw something in because a lot of their rings
are... You get crackers. They say crackers and ginger ale.
French crackers?
It doesn't say.
Boucheron, some of the rings are, and you know, they can go upwards of this, but a lot of their just plain bands are around $4,000 to $6,000.
No,
so maybe they'll throw that in.
They'll probably give you one of those. Here's a nice item from the Neiman Marcus holiday gift catalog. Travel the world by private jet to 5 cool destinations. This will run you, by the way, $575,000. Neiman Marcus presents an additional fantasy gift accessible exclusively to their InCircle members. Are your dues paid up? I hope they are.
No.
InCircle will take customers aboard a private jet to 5 world-class destinations, all with luxury accommodations. Guests will stay 3 nights at each location.
That's kind of nice.
And then board the private jet to set off on their next location. The luxurious adventure begins at Kasbah Tamadah.
Sharif don't like it.
That's in Monaco. Then you will go to the Lefay Resort and Spa in Dolomiti, Italy. This will follow a visit to the Ice Hotel in Sweden.
Oh, I want to go there.
That's nice. Then Jade Mountains in St. Lucia.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And then the Howard Johnson in Elk Grove Village.
Well, that's a tip-in.
They save the best for last.
All right, that would be fantastic, but unless you could...
$575.
Can you put it on your Neiman Marcus credit card?
Yeah.
And just pay it off monthly?
Yeah, you pay it, you do it monthly.
$20 a month?
Right.
Forever?
And then in the year 3618, you're all paid off. Here's a good one. Star in your own makeup video by Mario Instagram Video. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to spend an hour in the an hour for $400,000. You will spend an hour in the chair of makeup artist Mario Dedevichonik. Is he good?
I don't know who that is, I would like to do makeup.
Travel and meet up with Mario for a personalized makeup session and see for yourself why celebrities around the world book him a year in advance. He will do your makeup using some of his favorite products from Neiman Marcus, and you'll be featured on his Instagram channel, where he'll showcase your ultimate beauty look.
His client list includes Kim Kardashian, Kate Bosworth, Ariana Grande.
Oh. He knows his stuff, but $400,000 to spend an hour in the chair.
Yeah.
You will receive tickets to the Masterclass. That's Mario's popular makeup masterclass, including an exclusive meet and greet and photo opportunity with Mario himself. Finally, you'll receive a special package with some of the products that Mario has used during your glam makeover. Only $400,000 for that? I'd pay $400,006.
That seems way too expensive.
Do you tip on that?
No.
You don't tip? Tip not included.
Mm-mm. Are there more? These are just so...
So far, none of these are appealing to you? Not one?
Honestly, even if I had all the money in the world.
You still wouldn't do
it? No.
Nothing? All right. I've found some. Hold on. I might have some for you. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then I will sell Wendy on her holiday fantasy. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, we are now the second Chicago radio station playing Christmas music. The lights started July 16th, but we're starting now.
I'm okay with it, to be honest with you.
All right. Neiman Marcus every year puts out their fantasy gift guide. These are all sorts of things that unless you're crazy rich, you just cannot afford. So far, I've read you 4 or 5 of them. Wendy, not one has appealed to you.
None.
This is correct? Nothing so far.
Nor you.
I'll find... Not, that Aston Martin is a beautiful car, but $700,007? Mm-mm.
Just not save even... your money and buy Michael Jordan's house.
Right.
Is that on the list,
that's
by the
easy.
Way?
It's not on the list this year. Had there been in the past, this is obviously from Neiman Marcus, but was there a particular catalog that you got in your mail around the holiday time that you just went, oh, I can't wait to page through this. This is going to be fun.
Well, what the Wish Book, the Sears, that was as a kid.
Yeah.
As I got older, I liked the Ulta catalog. It's kind of more of a pamphlet.
Do you sit cross-legged on the rug and just page through it slowly, the Ulta catalog like you did with the Sears book?
Kind of. Circle all the things I want. Cut the coupons.
Yeah. Boy, that did... When the catalog would come out, and correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the holiday catalog for Sears, the Wish Book, that always came out like in September, right? Was it right around September?
I thought it was right before Thanksgiving.
Was it?
And Winnie the Pooh was most
featured prominently.
Yes.
Yeah. So my brother and I would look at the toys for maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours. And then you look at the ladies' underwear for 20 minutes. You just see the ladies in their underwear. Always in a row, looking up at something, but they would never tell you what it was. Just staring off into the sunset at something.
All right, I'll be honest. I looked at the men in the tidy whities that were also looking at their watch.
You are a pervert. Wendy, here's one from the Neiman Marcus catalog that is interesting. You can experience Fashion Week like an industry insider. Haven't you always wanted to do that?
Yes.
Go to New York for Fashion Week? for the mere price of $250,000, you and a guest. Now, I say that because on these other ones, well, the car doesn't apply, because if you got a car, you can have anyone you want in the car. But the other ones, like that thing where you got to see five cities around the world,
yeah,
it doesn't even mention a guest. I'm hoping it includes a guest or two.
Well, yeah, I would imagine.
It would have to, right? Shouldn't that be in the fine print?
Yeah.
For this one, for experiencing Fashion Week, you and a guest will jet off to New York City to join a Neiman Marcus insider at the iconic New York Fashion Week. You will sit front row at four of the week's most coveted shows. You get to pick a look from each of the designers. I don't speak model, so does that mean... when you get to pick a look, does that mean that you get to pick out an outfit that they've designed, or do they just stare at you? What does pick a look mean?
Pick a specific style that you're interested in, yeah.
I don't know that anything that they're showing at Fashion Week is something I could pull off. I see the runway models pulling stuff off, and I go, I don't think I could wear that. Meet with the designers backstage, share memories. Remember the time I sat and watched the show? You mean 10 minutes ago? Yeah, remember that? That was great. Share memories with cocktails in hand.
All right, now you're talking.
At Neiman Marcus, located at Hudson Yards. You will also receive additional five-star treatment thanks to hair, makeup, and styling, all courtesy of Neiman Marcus. Well, they say courtesy of Neiman Marcus, but you just paid them $250,000.
Yes.
So I think they can throw in some hair.
I thought you had some that we might be interested in.
That one doesn't appeal to you.
Mm-mm.
How about this one? An extreme food lover VIP tour of Italy.
All right.
Oh, wait. Italy or Italy? Hold on.
I'd Italy. Go either. I like Italy, too.
Italy's closer.
They have a good prime rib sandwich.
Right. It's right down the street. Visit the... some long bunch of words that are Italian that I can't say. Visit the Pastifico di Martino. Does that sound right?
I don't know. I've never been there.
The place I just said factory, where you will learn the art of Italian pasta...
Oh.
Made from third-generation pasta maker Giuseppe Di Martino. He is the best. I mean, if you're going to do this, do this.
That would be fun.
If it was anyone other than Giuseppe Di Martino, I would call foul. I would say, give me Giuseppe Di Martino. What are you, crazy? The next day, you'll enjoy a cooking lesson from Massimo Bottura, followed by a dinner at an exclusive table inside the wine room. Continue with a guided tour of local markets, all while driving exotic cars.
A Fiat. It's I'm not guessing, that exotic.
Well, yeah. Well, it's Italy's one of their best cars, so there's that. Everything I just mentioned for the low, low price of...
How much?
Wait, why won't this... This one doesn't say a price.
So it's free?
Yeah, it's free. Grab that one, Wendy. Why isn't there... Every other one of these has a price very easily marked, but this one, for some reason, does not. Hold on. I'm going to find one that you like.
That one would be closest.
Is that the closest? The one in Italy?
You have a minute to find one.
My screen is freezing up because I hit the price point one on that, and it locked. Hold on a second. I'm going to see.
Does it have a new computer? Because you might be needing that.
No, it doesn't. Let me see if I have less than a minute to find one that you like.
Yes.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Is there anything in my price range? Like, what's the cheapest thing?
The cheapest one is $110,000. It's an adventure in Tokyo with Jeff Staple, who designs tennis shoes.
Why don't you do that?
Oh, wait. I lied to you. There's cheaper ones. A luxury doghouse by Denise Richards. This is the one I was telling you about earlier. Denise Richards will help design a doghouse for you, and that's only $70,000.
Why do I want her to do that?
I don't know why. Your lucky pet will enjoy a one-of-a-kind doghouse produced in collaboration with Rockstar Puppy, that is the company founded by actress and animal lover Denise Richards. Oh. The doghouses are custom designed to your specifications inside and out, and it says here, Wendy, nothing is off limits.
Who was she married to?
She was married to Charlie Sheen.
And he was in the doghouse a lot. Is that
right?
She started doing this.
Solved another mystery, Mrs. Colombo. We will take a break. We'll get you some news and then more of us, Bill and Wendy, WGN.